This is the Tri-State Time Machine, brought to you by Alex R. White, PLLC, at SueDistractedDriver.com. Each week, your host, Vanessa Hankins, and her guests share memories and stories about the past, the present, and the future of the Tri-State area. That's West Virginia, Kentucky, and the Ohio areas. If you used to live here, or you currently live here, you're going to catch yourself saying out loud, "Wow, I remember that." Now, here's Vanessa.
Hey guys, it's Vanessa. We're excited to be back with our first episode. I have Holly Smith Mount here and Sarah Walling. You guys know them for city council a lot of times. You might know Holly from our last episode that we had her on. We found out some pretty interesting travel details on her. That was a good time. So ladies, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Doing great.
This is exciting. I am
the
alumnus.
First ones in the studio.
I know. I'm an alumnus of this podcast, so
I need to start giving out awards.
Yeah, but I will say before we get started, on a serious note, it's so bizarre to be here without WG. I was so nervous the first time that you guys, when you had me last time, I was just terrified. And you both did a great job of making me feel comfortable.
He's the OG though.
So funny.
Literally, like his skill set. We're releasing an episode later today. Which, when you guys hear this, it won't be later today. Already be done. But I was talking about, had I known in December when we recorded our last episode, first of all, I would have slowed down and I would have asked for far more stories and let me know the secrets to all this success. I don't know if you know this or not, but he won like Entertainer of the Year.
That's cool.
And he did that in Houston, like in such a big market. He did that in Houston.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's amazing. Well, and that was before he had even been on radio very long.
It will surprise Sarah not at all to know that I showed up like a nerd with pages of notes.
You did.
And so I was expecting it to be very like NPR. This is what I've accomplished. This is what I'm doing. And he was like, I mean, you can read it if you want.
Yeah, he's like, if you want to, you can do it. But no, you don't need that.
More fun. We talked about Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, we talked about. Yeah, that's what I was going to say with your fun traveling stories. They were wonderful. So I'm excited to have you guys. We're in the new studio. Hopefully, Circle 270 can make this sound wonderful because I'm learning with acoustics very much so slowly. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys have had going on. First of all, let's talk about the fact that you guys are both running for council. So I'm going to let you go ahead and give your little spill on what district you're from. Let people know what's listening.
I am District 6, which is, we did some redistricting. So there, people do need to pay attention to that. There are maps online on the city's website. District 6 was, or is right now, currently the biggest by land and population. And redistricting occurs every 10 years with the census. We have to even it out. So I have 7,500 constituents currently.
So that's a guaranteed. See, I didn't know that. Every 10 years that's happening.
Yeah, and now it's going to go down to 5,000 because, for example, where you live in District 1, there are only 2,500.
Right.
So it needs to be equal and adequate representation. So we are the southeast hills. I tell folks, my district, it looks weird on a map.
Right.
Because it's not dense, whereas Sarah's population is very dense. I have 2,500 acres. 5,000 people in the next election, and it is basically the hills and trees.
Fun times. Yeah, fun times. So it's going to look a lot bigger compared to other people's just because of the square footage.
But where it's spread out in the hills.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm District 4. I'm Southside. Unlike Holly, it basically looks like a giant rectangle under the new maps. It's West 5th to 12th Street and 8th Avenue to Four Pole Creek, basically, and along 13th Avenue. So, like I said,
and it's stuffed full of people.
It is stuffed full of people, but good people. We have
mother-in-law lives in Southside, so
yeah,
and my sister-in-law. Shout out to Erica and Michelle.
Nice.
Point of reference for district is 700 acres.
Holy moly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Area-wise, it's one of the smallest.
Details that you remember are astounding to me.
Listen, I can call Holly with a question about the city charter, and she can cite the exact provision that applies.
A rule follower?
I love that.
Find it.
I love that.
Well, this is my first time to run for election, and I've been very careful to say keep or elect, because I've been warned that some other appointees in the past have used re-elect,
right,
and gotten some criticism for it. So,
did you come in when Jennifer went out? Is that how it worked?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's been a long time, actually. It was.
Yeah, it feels like it was yesterday, but it has been a while.
July of 2021.
Holy moly, mm-hmm. Time is flying. We were just talking about that before we started recording. I feel like the last 5 to 8 years have literally been the last 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Time is merely a construct at this point. Before COVID, during COVID, after COVID, I don't even know. All I know is now I have a middle schooler and no more babies in my house. And it's just, time flies.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You're coaching your daughter's softball team?
Yes, I coach Huntington Little League majors softball. And I will tell you, I played softball. I was a student athlete. I love sports. I love to play. I played softball for 1 year, my freshman year in high school. I did achieve a varsity letter, which I was very proud of, but it just wasn't for me. And so by the time now, I mean, it was 3 years ago. So I'm playing this sport. I don't remember the rules.
That's what I was going to say. Do you remember everything?
They've actually changed. Like, I also coach her volleyball team, and the rules even for that have changed since I played in high school. And yeah, we play, honestly, it's kids sports. I'm not one of those folks that's like,
do you find yourself like hesitating when you go to like call out something? Like, hold on, am I right about this? Is that the rule now?
It's usually awkward anyways. So I'll say things like, yeah, swing it hard. Or something. My mother is the same way. And I guess apples never fall far from the trees. We just say awkward things.
I love that.
Sports ball games. And yeah, I'm lucky to have assistant coaches who actually
know what they're doing.
So I'm like, you know, you handle the practices, teach them the skills. I'll do the communicating. Get the concession stands covered, you know, get the more administrative things done. It is a lot of fun. I love these girls. This age is so fun because, first of all, middle school girls get a bad rap. Teenage girls get a bad rap.
Caroline, correct?
Caroline.
But and how old is she right now?
She'll be 12 next month.
My daughter just turned 11 last weekend.
They're stuck between being a little kid and being a young woman. And it is this uncomfortable phase. It's so uncomfortable. Everything's changing, and it's just, they're so vulnerable, and they just want somebody to lead them. And they, I think they need role models more now than any point.
Absolutely.
In their life. So we have fun. We're 0-3 on the season.
Ooh.
But we're getting rapidly better. And we have practice later today. So I just love
it. So you've got a busy day. I was going to say, the fact that they let you hang out with them lets you know that you're cool.
Well, I did see one outside of practice the other day, and she totally was like, like, if my coach weren't showing, it'd be embarrassing.
Right.
Like, your mother. Like, I can understand my own kid being like, God, get away. But
like, not you. I thought you liked me. Well, right. Absolutely.
I'm not cool.
And it's such an impressionable age. With my daughter just turning 11, like, I swear I woke up and she had boobs and a butt. And I'm like, what happened? What happened to my little girl?
I was coming and taking my shoes and stuff.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I'm a shoe person. So like every time my daughter takes them, I'm like, oh God, I want to be nice. I want to be so kind. I want to be the good friend and let you take the shoes. But I really know what they're going to come back looking like. You
sign
know?
Them out.
Yes.
Sign them back.
That's a really, I need to do that. So Sarah, let's talk about some things that you've had going on. I saw on Facebook the other day that you guys teamed up with Habitat for Humanity. Tell me a little bit about that.
We did. So Habitat for Humanity was having their Women Build Week, and some coworkers from OVP Health and I put together a team and went over and built literal walls for a house. And when I tell you that we have no construction experience, that is an understatement. I think we thought that we were going to be painting something, or maybe
you got in a little deeper than you thought you would.
Yeah. That's
symbolic.
Yes. This was not symbolic, and it was not cosmetic work. We were there. We had 2x6s and we had actual hammers. And at one point, some of the guys that we work with came by just to sort of observe, I guess.
Oh, of course.
And they stood around and watched us work and got a whole bunch of grief from the Habitat guys who were actually telling us how to build these things. So we were supervised, which was great.
I love it.
But at one point, somebody said, why aren't you all using a nail gun? And we said, that takes all the fun out of it.
Well, and like, what if you nail your finger to a board? Like, that would be my, that would be
I mean, we were holding nails between fingers and pounding at the same time.
Nail guns and all that kind of stuff. The air pressured tools, they scare me. They make me nervous.
Yeah, we were at one point given a power screwdriver or a power screw remover drill thing. Like a drill with a different attachment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
An impact.
I know.
What does my husband call them? Impact drill instead of your regular drill.
No, that's for like a hammer drill. I don't know. But anyway,
totally getting down the road for this.
Yes. They gave us one power tool and the rest of the time it was all by hand.
All manual.
And so we learned a few things. It's really hard to drive a nail straight. Yes. Number one. And also, there was just something really empowering and very team building about knowing that we were literally building a structure that people were going to live in and raise their kids in.
Right.
This particular home is actually going to go sort of close to your house. It's going to go in the Wayne County part of Huntington.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Habitat's built a few houses recently down towards Fairfield. So, yes,
I've seen them.
So actually in Huntington, but this one, apparently there's no Habitat affiliate in Wayne County.
There is not. They closed shop. God, it's probably been 15, 16 years ago, I think.
Yep. So they fall under Huntington Habitat, and this one's going to go down towards
the Wayne County. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sometimes we're forgotten down there on that side of the town, of the city. Thank you. And I've loved the redistricting. I was telling my husband this morning about the redistricting. I was like, you know that the line is, because we were passing the line. I was like, you know, the line is here now for Westmoreland, like for the district, right? And he was like, hold on, are they going to start paying the Wayne County taxes like we do? And I'm like, no, that's not changing. That part's not changing. I like where your head's at, though. Yeah. I love that you want more people to have to pay the double taxes.
I'll give a shout out to Holly because she was pretty instrumental in the redistricting process. I feel like it's more cohesive, like there's more of a plan behind it.
Yeah,
because before, you know, Harveytown, it currently is and has been part of District 4,
right?
And I think that the issues that Harveytown faces are more similar to those that the west end of Huntington faces, right? As opposed
absolutely
to, you know, south side. And so they've unified the parts of Fairfield, they've unified the south side, they've unified the west end. They're looking at natural boundaries and also the characteristics of neighborhoods. And so,
right. I love that. Like, I love that you said the natural character, you know, that is so important because it's so hard for people that know nothing about politics. They know nothing about their community in those ways. That is going to be something that easily is going to help them remember those boundaries and possibly look up and get in touch with their council person.
They gave us, it was really interesting because, like I said, I am a numbers person. They gave us these maps and each of the little, basically each parcel where folks live had the number of people, residents who lived there. And we were tasked, there were requirements and then strong suggestions and then would be nice to have, like,
yeah,
like rule regulation wise. And so we've had to follow all of those while maintaining these numbers and making sure that it was plus or minus a certain percentage of people. That was a requirement, keeping neighborhoods cohesive, compact. Of course, my district was hard to keep compact, but it is all one contiguous district,
right?
It was just a really, there were five of us on the committee and it was a big thought exercise because you do want to maintain neighborhoods. You don't want to silence or oppress any voices whatsoever. Right. And that was so important. And it was a great group of folks working on it. It was drama free. We were able to get it passed. And I was really proud of how we handled it because it is very easy when redistricting occurs to do things that are not in the best interests of communities.
And knowing now that it only happens once every 10 years. Yeah. Congratulations on that. Yeah.
So maybe I will. I don't know. It was really interesting. It was a pretty cool exercise.
I love that.
And I love me a good map too. They gave
us this with your data. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. See, I'm not a data person. I'm just like a show me the shiny things person.
Yeah. It's a good balance.
Yeah. Sarah, I want to talk about the Julia Child. Was it a lookalike contest?
It was not a lookalike contest.
What was the contest? You just did it just because?
No, I did not do it just because. So SIP does these really great themed dinners, and Allison White is just an amazing chef, and she has a great team. And so they were putting together a dinner that was recipes from Julia Child's The Art of French Cooking cookbook.
Okay.
Well, so on the flyer, it said costume contest, prizes awarded. And I love me a good theme, and I love me a good contest, and I love a costume. And so I was like, I'm going all in with this.
Yeah.
Well, I ordered the wig and I ordered the clothes, and it was, let me just say it. I even went so far as to order the little patch that she would always wear. I ordered a patch from Etsy, and I just assumed everyone would be all in on this contest thing. But when I was walking in the door, there were these two people behind me that I didn't know. And I heard them say, were we supposed to dress up for this?
We turn around and say, yes, you were.
Yes.
I know. Please. I should have.
How dare you?
Yeah. And I did walk down the street, not once, but twice, because my office is just a few blocks away.
Right.
So I walked there in costume before the dinner and in costume on the way back. And I have no idea what people thought, because it was like wig and all.
I love
but,
it.
But yeah, I was not the only one dressed up. Taylor Strickland from Austin's in the Market.
Yeah.
Taylor Strickland Chambers now.
Yeah.
She was also dressed up. And there were a few other folks, Allison and her daughter Lillian.
The ones that dress up, that's when you can go into a room and know those are your fun people.
Yeah.
Like you, they like to have a good time.
Screenshot it and send it to her. On here, because I think I missed the invite, like I just missed it somehow.
Yeah,
the event, you know, with everything going on, and I was like, what's happening?
I think I've seen it on social. I think I've seen other people sharing it on social before you had even posted your selfie. And people,
oh, really?
And people were like, I think on yours, someone was giving you like the high praises, and you were like, oh, from you, like that's amazing.
It was Justin Murdoch. Yes, who is? Yes, he is. He is fantastic. But
Justin, so he wears his heels a lot, right?
Yes,
same Justin.
Yes,
okay.
And he's already super tall.
Yes,
but the prize was a bottle of wine.
Oh,
so I really feel like my, you know, $10 wig from Amazon and.
I
can
ask for more.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. All right, guys, we're going to play a little game.
Sweet.
We're going to do a little this or that, and you guys can both answer. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Beach or farm?
Farm.
Oh,
look at me.
I know, we're both like the color of paper.
I literally came in 60 degree weather last weekend. I was like, never underestimate this.
Oh my gosh, that's
I just honestly, I should know better. I've been this pale my entire life. But
that's so fun.
Farm for sure, as long as I'm not having to do necessarily the farm.
You need someone to do the labor, yeah.
I just want to like maybe sit in a hammock and sip lemonade.
I want to like go feed the chickens, and I forget the guy's name on TikTok, but he's like, get up, bitch. It's time to do farm chores. Like, I want to be him.
Yeah.
Like,
you want to be the one waking the others up.
I'm not up at the sun with the sunlight, scooping manure on a farm, but like definitely feed the chickens, pet the goats,
go yoga, perhaps.
Well, I got sunburned, as I call it, tending my crops in my south side backyard. I have this tiny little strawberry patch.
I
know. I have two blueberry bushes.
For a garden.
Listen, I'll take my illegal strawberries all year long. But no, I want to plant that
garden. I love that.
Yeah, it doesn't get a whole lot of attention. You know,
ready for
but
it.
Yeah. But the strawberries are great. So,
sand is insidious. I don't even remember the last time I went to the beach, and I think I still have sand in my suitcase from that trip. I'm like, this is acceptable.
Every time, every
car, everywhere.
All right, Bieber or Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay, I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask anyways. More time or more money?
Time.
Money, but I think more money.
Really? I figured it'd be
more
time
money because then I could hire out. I could outsource some things,
yes,
like laundry, dishes, chauffeuring.
All right, so this is the major, this or that. This one's really serious. You guys are going to have some thought. Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Reynolds.
No hesitation.
Ew, that is hard. I don't know. I'm enough to go with Ryan Gosling.
I'm a Gosling gal myself.
The memes.
It was funny, but Ryan Reynolds, just that the way that he and his wife take shots at each other on social media. Yes, that's God, my style. Yeah. Like, I really love it. Like, he posts a picture of her, his wife looking, well, about like what I do now, like really ratchet. And he's like, hashtag no filter. Love it. The irony. They take stabs at each other. No, I will say Ryan Gosling, second, loved him as Ken. He's an amazing human, but I'm going to go with Reynolds.
Right.
The Ryan, the hey girl memes. The Ryan Gosling hey girl memes. That's my favorite.
For sure.
I loved him as, what is it on the Scooby Doo movie?
Fred.
Fred.
But he was Fred, wasn't he? Yeah.
Fred. Oh
yeah.
My gosh, I loved it.
Yeah. Very talented.
Yes.
Very talented.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Okay. So let's talk about events going on in Huntington, where Huntington is and where we're going. Because in the past, we have talked a lot about past Huntington. We want to start talking about future Huntington. So tell me some beautiful, wonderful things going on in Huntington, lady.
So I will tell you, I was. You know, even 10, 11 years ago, I was one of those folks. I'm like, man, we really need stuff to do. We need stuff to do. This past weekend, actually, the past frequent weekends for... The
busiest weekend I've had in my life.
I can't teleport myself to all these things.
Right.
I have to pick and choose. Like, man, I need to get FOMO. And, like, there's so much going on. First of all, the events. I mean, it's spring, so everyone's kind of coming out.
Right.
Stuff we've done. The festivals. The... events at Marshall, the sports, the various things going on. I mean, there's just too many to name, and we need someone to do like this massive master calendar of some sort.
We really do. Gosh, we need one.
To prioritize. There was just this weekend.
Just to keep up with sports. Just to keep up with sports, you couldn't make it to everything. Yeah. I know I got up, I went and recorded on Alligator Jackson's podcast. It was fun. Made it to the Loopy Fest, made it to the Fountain Ceremony. Made it to the green and white game and then back home to do all the mom stuff, you know, and I felt exhausted and only did four things.
Yeah, so. it was a busy weekend.
Yeah.
And see, I did four things that were not those same four things.
Right.
That's what I love.
And that's what's beautiful about
Yeah. London. Yeah.
I love it.
Well, the neighborhood cleanups went on yesterday.
Earth Day. Yep. Picked up trash in the morning.
We had an event down at the CPB. Huntington Pride had a candidate event, which was amazing turnout. I think they got several people registered to vote, which is always
the biggest
events.
Absolutely.
Get out and vote, right? I went to the spring game. I also was like tempted because the spring game started a little bit later. I was like, the softball game's going on. And the
stands were full. They were so full.
There was a baseball game last night.
There was a baseball game, yeah.
She was
at baseball going on right now as well.
I was at the Drinko event. Like, we were literally two floors away from each other last night.
And I'm assuming y'all have been to the baseball field, right? Like,
yes. It's gorgeous. Yes.
So much fun. So much fun I've had every time. I have some diehard Marshall fans that live next door to me, and I don't think that they've missed a game.
Really?
Like, they are. If the stadium's open, like, they are there.
Yeah. It's a great space.
It really is. It's wonderful. I love the bars across the back. Like, I'm like, when you get sick of setting, you can just go back there and talk to your girlfriends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the best. It really is.
So that whole complex right there with the clubhouses and everything. Yep. I'm so happy for those athletes that they have the things that they need. I mean, we're Division I. There's, you know, the baseball team was playing out at the Kennedy Center on Route 2 and they're having to call games due to lights. And
Absolutely. We needed
these players. It's a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I'm happy they have these facilities.
Absolutely.
I don't know that I will ever see anything as cool as the home run that was hit on the first pitch that was thrown to a Marshall player in the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was wild watching that ball just go. It was so cool. There,
so the crowd probably lost it.
Yes, they did. It was amazing.
The ball left the stadium with like green flames behind it.
Fireworks going off.
And yeah.
It was almost like a gift from the universe.
Yeah, for sure. No, you really, then, you know, when I was at the fountain ceremony, the guest speaker was talking about when he came to Huntington, he had no ties to Huntington whatsoever. He had just heard about the plane crash and, you know, how hurt the community was. And he just, as a high schooler, was like, Mom, Dad, I want to go visit Marshall University. And that's he ended up being on that first year team. And he's like, you know, we lost so much, and he was able to talk almost an hour about the beautiful moments that he experienced in as an athlete, these beautiful memories that he made in a losing season.
Yeah.
Like, so to have an hour worth of speaking of beautiful moments that you had, like, I think it's hard to live in Huntington and not get a heartfelt and teary-eyed about any phenomenal thing that happens with our athletes.
There's just like this, almost like this butterfly effect, right? Like, I feel like we are always being watched over, as corny as it sounds. And I'm not from the area. Sarah isn't either, but there's almost like this presence of being watched over. Like, for example, no one where I grew up comes to Marshall. They all go to that school up north. And the teacher that my best friend next to me, my best friend came into town for an event last weekend. He lives in Austin, but he grew up here. He moved to where I'm from, up towards Wheeling, years ago. We were 10 or 11 years old. We were in fifth grade. And a teacher was like, you know what? You'll get along with these three kids right here. I'm going to sit you next to them. And it was me and two of my other buddies. She went to Marshall University. She died of breast cancer on the anniversary of the plane crash. And I just can't, like, all these things, like a butterfly flapped his wings and somehow Jason is sitting next to me. We end up down in Huntington just because the mall, I'll be honest, as teenagers were like, the mall.
Yeah.
And then just, it's changed so much to watch it evolve. It's not the same city it was then. It's so much better.
Right.
And I just feel like we all have guardian angels in this city.
For sure. For sure.
And we're resilient. We bounce back from everything.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. So I have one last question for you guys, since you just shared with me that you're not natives. What brought you to Huntington and what made you stay?
I'll let you go.
I am not a Huntington native, but my family is from Ashland. They've been in Ashland for four generations. My great-grandfather came from Italy, and this was where they wanted to raise their family. Yeah, it was. It was very cool. My dad worked for Ashland Oil, and he was transferred to Houston when I was about to start fourth grade. So I was down in Texas for 18 years. I grew up in Houston, and then I lived in Austin for 10 years. Went to UT, Hook'em Horns. And
G would be dying right now.
Sorry.
No, he loved. He lived in Houston for a very long time. That's where he went to college and everything. So,
yeah, that's awesome. But my mom always said, no matter how long I lived in Texas and no matter how young I was when we moved there, whenever someone would ask me where I was from, I always said Kentucky. I went back to law school as a non-traditional student. I was 27 when I started. And when I was making that major change in my life, I thought, if I'm ever going to go back home, this is the time that I'm going to do it. So I didn't apply for law schools outside of Kentucky, even though it cost me dearly because they considered me to be out of state.
Right.
And then once I graduated, I didn't look at jobs outside of the tri-state. And at the time I came back, Huntington looked really different than it does now. It had definitely started its evolution, but it wasn't quite there. And I started practicing law at Jenkins Fenstermaker, and they're still my very, very dear friends. But they were officing in the Coal Exchange building at the time, and they were moving their office from the Coal Exchange building to I think it's technically called Capital Center. I always call it like the Raymond James building.
Raymond James
building.
Whatever. Yeah.
And yeah. And so even though I interviewed in the Coal Exchange building, and even though the Capital Center office was literally studs and plywood, they said, we're going to walk you down the street and we're going to show you that we are actually building this new office. But it was important to them to be part of downtown.
The innovation.
Yes. Yeah. And it's wonderful. It's just so wonderful to see. And this Huntington, you know, you all talked about special moments that athletes have in Huntington. I make no secret about, you know, I think we've all at one point struggled with our mental health.
Yes.
I was not happy when I lived in Austin. Everybody thinks it's a great city. It is a great city, but it's hard to get involved, and it's hard to kind of break into that, because when you're in bigger cities, weirdly enough, volunteering and community service is almost a society thing.
Right.
Like, you've got to get to a certain point. So when I was in, moved back to Huntington and didn't know anybody because all my friends were long gone, I went to I'll give another shout out to a couple of people. I went to a Chamber of Commerce Young Professionals Happy Hour. It was out at Schooners, which
We love Schooners.
Yes, we do love Schooners. But I went up to the bartender because I knew no one. And I gave her a big tip, and I said, show me who's in charge of this event. And she said, that woman right there. And it was Jennifer Wheeler.
Oh, love Jen.
So Jen was the first person that I met in Huntington. And she said, well, if you want to get involved, I've really got some people that you need to meet. And so I met Anna Laffery. She's Anna Kraft now. And she was working at the museum. And she said, we're really looking for volunteers. And I thought, yeah, right. Like, you're going to let this newbie
come. This newbie, right.
Yeah. And she called me the Monday after that. And she said, look, if you're in, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
And I just have never in my life lived somewhere where I felt so embraced and so welcome. And like, if you want to make this community a better place,
show up.
There's no right
excuse.
Right. There's no, and there's no gatekeeping.
None.
You know, there's just not it. They just want people to roll up their sleeves and work and support our nonprofits and support the folks that could use an extra hand in our community. And
literally my daughter at the time was probably 7. We painted the Vidocs.
Yeah.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
7 years old. And she's out there painting Vidocs. So there's no excuse not to show up.
Right.
And help your community.
And that's a lot longer answer than you were probably looking for.
I love it. I love it.
But it speaks to what's
No, you're fine.
I think it speaks to when I came down to Huntington in the 5th grade for a social studies project or social studies fair. And I vividly remember thinking Huntington was literally just a sheet of asphalt with weeds coming up in the And my mother will tell you that I said, I will never go to school here. We'll never say never. Every time I say never, my kids will never do that because, it happens.
It's happening.
I mean, I had some options academically to go elsewhere, and Marshall was just the best fit. But what Sarah mentions, too, about this phenomenon of volunteering and getting engaged, I was fortunate enough to have people like, Jen Wheeler, for example, was one of the first people.
She's like the best matchmaker in the community.
And then I also was fortunate to have another generation of women above me who were like, who took me under their wing and said, come join us in this because this is going to be passed on to you in their own way. And it was folks like Ann Barrett Tao and Ann McGee and Kathy Haig. And I remember Melissa Foster Bird and Buffy Hammers being at an event.
I love
and
this.
They're always... It was like they were saying, one day we're not going to be as involved, and it's these are different generations of women. And I think Sarah and I embraced that too. And there are definitely younger than us that we've seen at council meetings and people working at Marshall and students. And we're like, come with us.
You're
a young, squishy brain.
Like be a girl's girl.
Yeah.
You have to be.
It just really, it's empowering and it's just an amazing community. There are helpers everywhere.
It's the true concept of stewardship. So I'm on the board of directors of the Ronald McDonald House. I'm on the board of directors of Harmony House. Both of those boards still have founding board members. At Harmony House, it's Betty Barrett, who, of course, is Anne's mother. Yeah. And at the Ronald McDonald House, it was Sally Lowe and Michelle Craig and Susan Haig and the people who had literally built those organizations. And it's just incredible to see the pride that they have in it and the connection that they still have. But also, like Holly said, they were so welcoming to me. I mean, any question that I had, how did this get started? How did you do that? I mean, they love to share their knowledge and their legacy. And it's really incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would mirror what both of you said. There is not a situation that I have gone into, even just meeting the two of you, where I'm like, hey, girl. And you guys were just like, oh, hey, want to hang out?
Come on in. The water's warm.
And
you're going to get put to work.
And it's a beautiful thing because I've worked in every county in West Virginia prior to my job now. And not every community is this way.
Right.
So we're very, very lucky to have Huntington. And we are growing so rapidly.
Goodness.
Like I can't wait to see what Huntington is like for my children.
Well, my brother lives in Tallahassee. He graduated from Marshall and he comes in maybe twice a year with his kids. And he'll, every time he's like, it's so clean. And it's so
I think different. People don't realize that don't get out of Huntington.
I don't have rose colored glasses on. I understand there are problem areas in certain areas.
Absolutely.
We certainly have our issues that we need to address and fix. And we actively do that.
Yes.
I mean, things keep us up at night. But even my best friend that came in from Austin, he was like, I can't believe he had been here since before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
He could not believe. I mean, we went downtown and had a beer at Summit in a Poda cup. He's like, you mean to tell me I can walk.
I can walk out of this place.
And it's a small business. It's a big business. It's not about beer. It's not about alcohol. It's about progress and keeping up with the times. And he said, we have a wine bar in Huntington. I'm like,
right.
Dang, fine wine bar.
Yes.
Like, I have a locker.
Let me show you the locker. Yes.
And just Heritage Station and how adorable it is. And there are just so many pockets of greatness in the city and more to come. I love that we're not just, you know, downtown's a big deal. It's a hub, right?
It is.
You have to get your downtown in line. But also West 14th. And the
we have West Edge Factory and Westmoreland. Yeah.
And then, you know, the Howgrove Corridor.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
We will get there. Gallagher Village, we're working on a streetscape. We're working on, you know, in Fairfield and Highlawn, different things. So it's not just downtown. It's these little neighborhood nodes all over. And that will keep us thriving because.
Absolutely.
This is how you build a great city.
And absolutely.
It's happening. It just takes time.
Absolutely. Well, and it takes all of us adding that helping hand.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone to get out, offer that helping hand, show up.
Raise a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Like, absolutely.
Barn raising.
Oh, listen, we had to stand those walls up and push them outside.
It married.
It was so great. And
true. To ask if they've got it on, if they've recorded it on security cameras.
Oh, there are pictures. There are pictures on social media. But true to the idea of Women Build Week, it was cold and it was rainy. And so they let us build our walls inside the Restore building so that we did not have to get wet. But then we had to stand them up and push them.
Very kind of them.
Oh, they're great.
They really are the best. I always give to Habitat before I give to anyone else. I love their philosophy and what they're what they entail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, beautiful. All right, ladies. Well, thank you guys for being on the Tri-State Time Machine.
Thank you.
It's
exciting.
This is probably emotional and a big deal for you. And
this is big. This is really big.
I'm honored that we're a part of it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
We can't wait to hear it. And actually, I will tell you, you have a listener in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida.
Do I?
Yes, I sent this link and to a friend.
Not me going home to check in my stats.
My husband, when I was walking out the door, he's like, you have to make sure to tell Daniel there's a new episode. And his
mom was
in the car.
One's releasing today, so let him know.
He said, her name's Reagan. She's in middle school. And she said, why does that voice sound familiar? And he's like, that's your Aunt Holly. And she's like, now she wants to start a podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And so it's just a chain of events.
Love that. It's amazing.
So I'll make sure to send them this and make sure that Reagan
is her
name dropped twice.
Yes.
Nice.
Podcast. And she should
One of the top 10 podcasts in West Virginia. Tell her that. Yeah.
Very cool. What does she want her podcast to be about?
And it was a really great topic. And I told her we were mind melding one night. And it was like kind of like tween talk, middle school talk, because this is the media.
Yeah.
This is the medium that they communicate through.
Yes.
They're not picking up YM magazine or Tiger Beat like we did.
I know they're not plastering them on their wall.
Sassy.
What's the best mascara? No, they want to have real conversations.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged by this next generation. They're gonna make big changes in Moon Mountains. But
I agree.
That kind of spunk and tenacity. I'm excited for her to take this. So
I'm excited. You have to keep me posted on how that works out for her. All right. Well, shout out to Circle 270 Media and Alex White, PLLC. We're excited to be back, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the Tri-State Time Machine, brought to you by Alex R. White, PLLC, at SueDistractedDriver.com. If you have a memory you want Vanessa to talk more about, just send her an email at tstm@mail.com. Or post a comment on the Tri-State Time Machine Facebook page. Did you like the episode? Be sure to share it with friends and family. It's the only way we can continue this fun work that we do. You can find a link in the show notes that you can use to share it. And be sure to let our sponsors know you like the podcast as well. Their contact information can be found in this episode's show notes.